The first talk we want to have about leadership and about elders is under the name fellowship. Fellowship. We want that we pick men who know how to follow. You need to pick men who know how to follow. Jeremiah 10:23 should be on everybody's memory verse list. Jeremiah 10:23 should be on everybody's memory list. I know, O Lord, that a way of a man, I'm doing it in another version, the one that's written in front of me. I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his steps. I know, O Lord, that the way of a man is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his own steps. I added the word own. We are not to be living self-directed lives. We are not to be living self-fulfilling lives. We are not to be looking within ourselves as the way we ought to walk. It is our Heavenly Father who shows us the way to walk. It is in following Him that we should walk in Christ. You know, the simplest thing Jesus ever did, the first command he gave to people in his ministry is when he went to his disciples, went to the men he was choosing his disciples, and he said to them, follow me. How simple is that? How eminently simple is that? Follow me. Follow me. Okay? Where he goes, you go. What he does, you do. What he says, you say. You follow him. Simple, yet extremely difficult. Doesn't get any simpler than that. You follow him. You need to have men, if we're going to select elders, we need to have men who understand not leadership first, but fellowship. Not I have the answers at all, but God has the answers. I want us to look at Exodus chapter 40. It's a really neat use of scripture going on in Exodus chapter 40. We're going to start in verse 1. Exodus 40. If we're going to look at men to lead, you need to find men who follow the right way at the right time. Exodus 40, verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, on the first day of the first month you shall set up the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. Mark, should I use this as a time of a plug? Our children were building a tabernacle yesterday. Yesterday they got through putting the stakes in the ground and painting the posts and painting some of the priests. Well, the entire tabernacle is about this big. So it's not exactly, we're not exactly going to use it for next week's service. But that was part of our Bible classes, and yesterday they were meeting in the fellowship room to put up the tabernacle and build it, and they got it about a third done, and Mark's got more time to do that with our children. It was a lot of fun. It was a very interesting exercise. But from verse 1 down to verse 15, you will notice in your English Bible, the word you shall in verse 2. You shall set up the tabernacle. Verse 3, you shall place the ark. After the word and, you shall screen the ark. Verse 4, you shall bring in the table. Halfway through the verse, and you shall bring in the lampstand. Verse 5, moreover, you shall set the gold altar. Halfway through, and set up the veil. Verse 6, you shall set the altar of the burnt offering. Verse 7, you shall set the laver. Verse 8, you shall set up the court. Verse 9, you shall take the anointing. Verse 10, you shall anoint the altar. Verse 11, you shall anoint the laver. Verse 12, you shall bring Aaron and his sons. Verse 13, you shall put the holy garment on Aaron. Verse 14, you shall bring in his sons. Verse 15, and you shall anoint them. You shall. God speaking directly to Moses, you shall do this. And in fact, when you get the other verbs in there, there are 28 second person verb commands in those 15 verses. There are 28 of them. After God gave Moses the long explanation of how to build the tabernacle, he turned to the man and said, you shall. This is what I want you to do. Now, Moses has had a long life. Moses has been through a lot. Moses was a man who used to argue with God. Moses was a man who cried out to God and needed some answers a few times. Moses was a man who ran for his life as a younger man. He was a man probably at 80 who thought he'd spend the rest of his days out in the desert pushing sheep around. God had other ideas. God shaped this man to listen to him. And in verse 16, thus Moses did according to all the Lord had commanded him, so he did. Verse 17, now in the first month of the second year, on the first day of the month, Moses erected the tabernacle. And in verse 19, at the very end of the verse, it says, well, let's read verse 19. He spread the tent over the tabernacle and put the covering on the tent on top of it, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Verse 21, he brought the ark into the tabernacle and set up the veil for the screen and screened off the ark of the testimony, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Verse 23, he set the arrangement of bread in order on it before the Lord. Seeing a pattern here? Just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Verse 25, he lighted the lamps before the Lord just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Verse 26, and when he placed the gold altar in the tent of the meeting in front of the veil, and he burned fragrant incense on it, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. It's in 29 at the very end of the verse, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. It's in 32 at the end of the verse, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. And at the end of the verse 33, it says, thus Moses finished the work. Before you can have a leader, you must have a man who knows how to be a follower. Nobody is at the top of the heap. Nobody. Only God resides there. So for anybody to say, I can lead and I can command people, he first must know that he knows how to humble himself and follow somebody. 28 times the second person command verb is used in the first part of Exodus chapter 40. And seven times, that's four times per time. Seven goes into 28. Seven times at the end, we read, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Why does it do that over and over and over again? Why is it there over and over and over and over again? He said it once, we'd get it. Reading this with your family is a lot of fun, because after about the third time, your children will say it for you. Yeah, Dad, I know. Just as the Lord commanded Moses. Okay, your turn. Just as the Lord had commanded. It's something we needed to learn about Moses, and it's something we needed to learn about obeying God. A man who knows how to listen to his heavenly Father, a man who knows how to listen to the Word, a man who trusts the Word and will abide by it just as God gives it to us. The most arrogant thing in the world is to take God's Word and change it so it accommodates our will. How foolish is that? So you want a man who knows how to follow the Lord. You want to know a man who knows how to follow authority, how to listen and submit to authority. There are many places in Scripture I was going to use, but we talk about it all the time. David's response to Saul's kingship, where David refused to act on himself to remove Saul from being king. Saul submitted himself and knew what it was to be under authority. I thought about the centurion who talked with Jesus and who told Jesus, "I know what it is to follow somebody and to command men. I know what it is to take commands and to give commands." But I thought we'd use Acts 23 in this case. Acts 23, verse 1. Paul is dealing with the Jewish council. Paul is facing a council of priests, powerful Jewish leaders. Acts 23, verse 1, Paul, looking intently at the council, said, "Brethren, I have lived my life with a perfectly good conscience before God up to this day." And the high priest, Ananias, commanded those standing beside him to strike him in the mouth. How would you respond? Paul responded. And then Paul said, "God is going to strike you, you whitewashed wall. Do you sit to try me according to the law and in violation of the law, order me to be struck?" But the bystanders said, "You revile God's high priest?" And Paul said, "I was not aware, brethren, that he was the high priest. It is written, 'You shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people.'" Paul, with his mouth stinging, knowing he was in the right, realizing he was standing before the authority of the Jewish temple, standing before the very high priest of God, backed up and said, "You're right, I should not speak against the high priest. I should not speak against the high priest." In order to have a man who knows how to be a leader, not only should the man demonstrate his willingness to follow Christ, to follow God, to submit to his word, but you need a man who's shown that he will follow others, that he will submit himself to authority, that he doesn't rail against the government, that he doesn't rail against his boss at work, that he doesn't cause trouble in railing against others or stirring things up. He's a man who knows what authority is and submits to it. Of course, Ephesians 13 reads, "Let every person be subject to governing authorities." Verse 2 reads, "Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed." You want a man who knows fellowship and who knows how to follow people in his life. 1 Peter 5:5 reads, "Likewise, you are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." You know, submission, that whole idea of fellowship. The disciples went through it over and over again. They weren't in agreement with everything Jesus did. They were often confused by the things Jesus did. They were with the crowd scratching their head in John when Jesus gave his tough teachings. And he said, "Will you leave me also?" And they replied, "To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." In other words, they were confused too. They didn't say, "Oh, we agree with you, Jesus. Great, great job." They said, "We're with you. We may not understand, but we're with you." You see, submission, if submission is only following something when you agree with them, that's not submission at all. That's filtering things through your own will. And if the government's doing what you agree with, well, then I'll obey the government. But I think that speed limit down there is stupid, so I'm going to do my own speed limit. I agree with the government except on these hunting regulations over here, so I'm going to live by my own hunting regulations. That kind of follower is not the kind of leader you want to have. I'll follow the elders as long as I agree with the elders. I'll listen to Scripture as long as it makes sense to me. When it makes sense to me, then I'll follow. That's not the kind of fellowship that makes a good leader for God. And 1 Peter 5 leads us immediately toward being subject to one another. Ephesians 5:21, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Let nothing be done, says Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. You see, the idea of lifting up one another or following one another or submitting to one another is not I've figured it out and I'm such a good and a smart person, therefore I'll submit to you because I really know what I'm doing. No, it's not that at all. It's you realize the other person is so valuable, is so precious, that their situation is so important to you that you submit yourselves to them because you consider them more worthy, more valuable than you. This idea of fellowship, of submission, is the opposite of self-will. Self-will. We're warned about elders not being self-willed in Titus chapter 1. An overseer must not be self-willed. Self-willed is a horrible personality trait to have. 2 Peter 2 warns about those who despise the government, who are audacious, self-willed. Romans chapter 2. Talk about the self-willed who disobey the truth. James 3, verse 17, brings wisdom into the picture by saying, but wisdom from above is first of all pure, then peaceable, courteous. Imagine wisdom being courteous and peaceable. And then it says wisdom is not self-willed. It's full of compassion and kind actions. Self-willed is the opposite of being a good follower. A good follower listens to the one who's responsible for the situation at hand. A good follower throws themselves into the task at hand. A good follower trusts the judgment within God and within a moral framework, but trusts the judgment of others or trusts God's control of the situation. We all need to be good followers. It took the disciples years to figure this out because it was still their problem when they were gathered for the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper with Jesus. And in Luke 22:24, it says, and there arose a dispute among them as to which one of them was regarded to be greatest. And he said, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who have authority over them are called benefactors. But it is not this way with you. But the one who is the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like the servant. For who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. Jesus brings in his own life the example of leading by following, of leading by serving. When he said to them, follow me, he showed them a pattern in which his life became a piece of service to those around him. The opposite of self-willed, the opposite of pride, proud and arrogant, he humbled himself to the people around him, to the situations around him, and he served and he served and he served. Simplest thing he could do, but the hardest thing he could do is to tell us, as he told the disciples, come, follow me. Fellowship. Fellowship. The key to leadership. Fellowship. The key to understanding how to be a good leader. Fellowship. The key to practicing humility so that you never build up in yourself the idea that you know the answers. James reads, who is the wise and understanding among you? Let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. Brothers and sisters, we all need to understand fellowship. We all need to understand what it means to trust God and trust his word and follow him. But also what it means to trust the proper authorities in our life, whether it's parents or local leaders or business owners or state or federal government. What it means to trust those in authority around us in a more intimate way in our church, in our home, etc., and what it means to follow and submit to one another. But as we're looking for men who know what it is to lead in the Lord's church, look for men who know what it is to follow, who aren't self-willed, who don't demand their own, who know what it is when the Lord calls and says, follow me, what it is to pick up everything and follow him. This morning, if there's any here who have not made that choice with Christ, if we've had some beautiful examples of people being baptized recently, and if you are ready to follow Christ, to take his request of come, follow me as the guiding principle of your life, don't let today go by without at least studying the Bible about it. But if you're ready to be baptized or you have any other need that we can help you with, please come forward and let us know while we stand and sing the song that David selected.